tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, friends, let us gather around the calculator. It's Personal Finance Monday, and we're not here to play safe. Almost half the year is gone. I pause there for emphasis. Almost half the year is gone. You've worked, you've planned, you've hustled. But where is your money actually going? Are you walking confidently toward financial freedom or just crawling from paycheck to paycheck, clutching onto January's forgotten budget like it's still got answers? Today, we're bringing in a financial sharpshooter who knows exactly how to get your money life to stand up straight. Reggie Mashabela is not just a finance guy. He's that guy. He's known for his no-fluff approach. Reggie is a financial wellness advocate, a speaker, and a strategic mind behind many successful money makeovers. He helps everyday South Africans and beyond really confront the uncomfortable, take control, and live with more clarity, control, and yes, cash. So buckle up. Tonight, we're not just talking about money that sounds good and goes nowhere. We are doing a mid-year money reflection, or we're holding up the mirror to you this time of the year. And I want us to really look at ourselves straight in the eye and confront what most people will run away from. Reggie, again, welcome to the show.
A good evening to you and a good evening to the listeners also back at home.
How are you? Since the last time we spoke. I'm doing well.
The last time we spoke, I remember I was a doctor.
Yes.
And you know, I'm so proud. I think I've seen some of my patients running around.
I love it.
Looking so healthy.
I love it.
But I'm just hoping they're not putting up a picture.
Listen,
but that's the reality of the bank balance.
Because also, do you know that people can be very stout and naughty when they see the doctor, they stop coughing?
Yeah, true. some of them would hide those unhealthy food that they get to eat in your absence.
Yes.
You know, and start eating the apola.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm glad that we have you here, because if they are doing that, this will be a mirror to them. Luckily, you won't be seeing them right now in this moment, but they will see themselves very, very clearly. So are you ready for us to get started?
Sure. I'm ready. And excited, of course.
Let's get to the root. Why do most people feel stuck financially halfway through the year, even after goal setting in January, which was like, what, 5-6 months ago?
So I think, really, one of the reasons is because, the financial journey is like a life journey, which can also come with things that we didn't predict, and that goes without saying that sometimes we plan, but then circumstances then come. But,
yeah.
I mean, having a plan is really better than a zero plan.
This is true.
You know? Sometimes in your projections, in your planning, you might cover a situation that has a possibility of coming up, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't even take 6 months for things to fall apart. You can put up a budget the beginning of May, and May doesn't even end without you having to borrow from the grocery budget to cover an emergency geyser bursting. Oh, my gosh. It's a lot. So I love that you are actually appreciating that things happen. And it doesn't mean we're reckless. It just means things have to get sorted.
And Mpumi, again, that's why we would encourage a continuous plan. Usually what happens is that January, we are excited. We feel like I'm a new Mpumi,
new year, new me.
Now I'm going to be drafting a budget. I'm going to be taking care of my finances.
Mm.
And I only do it in January. Ooh. The expenses in January, they are not looking the same as the one in February.
Nope.
You know? So hence we encourage that if you're receiving a weekly income, draft a weekly budget.
Mm.
You know, if it's fortnight, make it fortnight. If it's monthly, make it monthly.
Yeah.
You know. In so doing, you are able to see your financial picture clearly.
Yeah.
Unlike waiting until it's June now, and then you're thinking, hey, pointing to my financial goals. You know.
And I want us to talk to that person, right, who's lost track, who's fallen behind. Where do they start? And actually, let's start here. Is there such a thing as too late in the financial game?
No.
Perfect.
None, you know.
So where do they
there's
start?
Also, there's also no hopeless situation. I think it's important that I encourage that. There's
yes.
no hopeless situation. Look, on my bio, one of the things that I forgot to mention is about a podcast that we are doing with a friend of mine.
Mm.
And one time we interviewed a client who was in a 40 million debt.
40 what?
40 million.
Million with an M, not thousand.
With an M, you know? And now you think about it. If ever such a debt was to be put before you and I and things had fallen apart.
No, I'm done.
Look, we think of a lot of things.
Yeah.
One of them is taking our lives.
Yes.
You know? But your mindset in that instant, it's very important.
Mm.
It's one of the financial tools that you have as an individual.
Mm.
That, look, I've made some stupid mistakes financially. But look, I still have an income. I still have myself. I still have my skills, the skills that I have.
Mm.
You know, it actually it reminds me of a story of Moses when he was looking down on himself,
yeah.
and then he asked God, "Who am I?"
Yeah.
And then God was like, "What's that on your hand?"
Mm.
You know. And with what you have in your hand, which is that degree, that certificate, that skill that you have, that knowledge that you have, you definitely can change your financial picture.
You know,
so it's never even too late.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I love that you brought that example up because I'd love for you to use it as a use case, right? So a case study on how maybe you went on the journey with the person or how you are intending to go on the journey, because I don't know how far in the journey that 40 million dead person is on. But the truth is also, Reggie, when you take such a knock, yeah, you've got the degree. Yeah, you've got the skills. You possibly also have the network, but it really takes a toll on your esteem. It really makes you start questioning and doubting your decisions that led you there. It sort of paralyzes you, right? So I can just imagine, while it sounds good and it's so practical for people to start with what they have, and maybe it's easy. It would be easy if they didn't have this mountain standing in front of them. But the truth is, when you fall into the pit of death, it's really, really difficult to see a way out and to even, I don't know what the word is, repair or upholster.
Yeah, yeah.
To upholster your mind towards saying, listen, man, it's one of those things. So I'm so glad that you said our mindsets are our first financial tool, because I've never heard it said that way.
Yeah, and look, Mpumi, the mindset is also one of the things that get affected, you know. And then what then kicks in is my surrounding, my network.
Mm.
You know, if ever I'm surrounded by positivity, that's going to be like, hey, man, you actually are better. I was in 100 million. You know, then I then start noticing how my journey is actually closer, man. I can bounce back out of this. You know, so your network will also play a very vital role, because I mean, imagine you are in so much of a trouble, and then the only thing you hear is people telling you, "Hey, Baba, you are in trouble."
Mm.
You know. They tell you how impossible it is.
Mm.
That will actually make you to be in a very worse situation.
Oh, for sure. Because you know? You think you're the one who's dumb.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know. So network also, very crucial.
Mm.
So, and I mean, you look at it, so many things get affected in our finances.
Mm.
You know, I spoke about mindset. I spoke about your network also being important. Your surrounding, actually.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying, your network is your network.
It's your network. But also, if all of you are in debt, there's no network there.
You will basically fall more into that hole. Eh?
Yes. But with this 40M guy.
Maybe one of you changes their mindset and like, hey guys, this can't be our comfort zone. You know, let's step out of this.
Yes. So has the journey with the 40 million debt guy started? Is it close to conclusion? What's happening there?
It's closed.
And what was the journey? I'm so curious.
So the journey was looking back at how was I able to make this money? If I was able to and go into debt, it means I have the capability.
Yes.
You know? So it was basically that. And also looking back at what is it that I have on my hand, you know? For people to have trusted me with a 40 million, it means that they saw a potential.
Yes.
And then those very same people, if they see me walk tall and strong, they will still have an ability to invest in me. If it's not them, someone else could see what they saw.
You know what I want you to touch on right now? I want you to touch on the trade-off that we have to make, especially when getting out of debt or really just getting ourselves back on track. You think there are things you want to do, right? Like maybe buy yourself a pair of good jeans or go on that dinner with your friends. But then you think, the bank is going to call me at the end of the month, or I need to settle this and that. So how do people navigate, or how do people still enjoy life to some degree while paying off debts and getting out of that pit? Or is that the trade-off you make for this period, however long it will be, when Anje, you just leave for paying off debt, you're not enjoying life? How does that work?
Yeah, so look, I'll start by answering that here by saying, look, most of the time, the reason we are in that particular debt is it was because of instant gratification.
Enjoying life too much.
The whole thing of enjoyment. I must enjoy myself, you know. Which there's nothing wrong with that as long as you are within your boundaries. So I think one time, Mpumi, I was having a conversation with you about financial decisions that we make or that we take from emotions, driven by emotions. Like an emotion that, if I were to see myself in that G-Wagon, I'll be the happiest, you know. But then I then don't go and calculate the cost implications of having a G-Wagon. You know, I don't take into consideration the tire of that particular vehicle.
And the money,
I don't take
petrol.
Into consideration the petrol.
Yeah.
It's an emotional decision.
Yeah.
And according to banking systems or financial systems, I do qualify. But I know the truth of the matter that you actually don't qualify.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So the whole emotions that we use, it's the same ones which sometimes we would want to use whenever we're trying to get out of debt, and then we start talking about, but I'm a human being, I only live once. But you have a problem that takes you, you are satisfying an emotion, but then after satisfying that emotion, you have a frustration. A frustration is an emotion that can affect your productivity even.
Jeez. So you're saying discipline, discipline, discipline.
Discipline, 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 all the way. And I mean, there's not one way to get out of debt, you know. In the process of fixing, number one, you have to be able to notice that there is a problem.
Yeah.
Because you can't solve something that you don't know is the problem, you know. And then now you start doing debt reduction. You do budget adherence, like adhering to your budget. You look at your investment growth, income goals, and then also look at other opportunities in which you can increase your earnings. You know, because I mean, if you increase your earnings, it will speed up your process, your program a little bit.
Yes.
You know, because now, you used to make a 10,000. Now you're making a 15,000. Instead of channeling it to farm, all of it to farm, you can channel a portion of it to farm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad you went there, because I was going to say, I'm a scientist, right? And my mind works in formulas and equations. And when I think about this whole situation and this whole conversation, for me, the end goal or the other side of the equation is financial wellness. And so I was going to ask, and maybe let's just make it plain and clear for people, what that equation is to get you to financial wellness. And I know the journey looks different for a lot of people, but the principles of money and finance don't change. Doesn't matter whether you earn 10 Rand or you earn 10,000 Rand or 10 million Rand. So what are those elements or those parts of the equation that make up financial wellness for somebody who might have lost track or is just thinking really about what the year can end like versus what it's looking like now?
Yeah, so I think I've touched a bit on them, you know. I think number one key thing is for us to have a budget. You know? I think I've mentioned so many times that, look, this is a navigating system for your finances.
Oh, I love that.
So if ever I do not have an address to SID Media, I will be hovering around Centurion and asking around, and by that time I'm finishing debt. Similar to our finances, if ever we do not create a budget for them, then we have what we call unallocated funds. And when funds are not allocated, whatever that comes, it's easy for us to spend on it.
Yeah, no, money is very slick. It doesn't wait for you to give it a job. Money is a bad employee.
Yeah, it just employs itself.
I know, straight.
It just employs itself. So those are some of the things we really need to look at. Like, the budget is very crucial. Yes. And like I said, we can't do it once and then that's it.
It has to be a working document.
It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing as long as we receive our income.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And now we are able to track, we are able to see, am I balanced financially? Is there a mistake I've done last month? How can I fix it before it gets worse? You know, yeah.
Okay.
And then, yes, we talk about savings also, to create that balancing. So in your budget, you also create like an emergency fund of some sort.
Yeah.
You look at your debt. I mean, you voluntarily went to get that debt or you said yes to a congratulations.
Yes.
You know. So now honor the debt commitment. You know. And then we look at our goals. It's important as an individual to also have financial goals. Where would I like to get with my finances, and in doing those, I mean, you then ask yourself, how do I get there? What do I need to do? Then you have a proper plan.
Oh, I love that. You know, when we started,
I mean, here's another thing I would like to emphasize.
Please,
we don't just achieve financial wellness by default. Those who try to do that, they end up featuring on I Blew It because they didn't plan for it. They didn't work for it. Money just landed, and then they thought, I'm wealthy. And they didn't plan even after that money. And then they end up falling into trouble.
Let's talk about those people, right, who get a lump sum, an inheritance, a raise, whatever it may be. What is the best way to use that money? And I know initially you said a portion of it goes to fun, but where does the rest of it go? What is the wise thing to do?
So, look, we can't really answer it from like a general individual and just say, like, put the money into an investment directly in there, you know? Because financially, we are in different situations.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah, and I'm not one to give, like, those systematic advice where we would say, just hold on for me. I think I'm getting a call. Just hold on. Okay. I just want to end it quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. So we really cannot use a one shoe fit all.
Yes.
You know, someone, when they are receiving that amount of money, you find that they actually are in some form of debt. They are owing a bond, you know, and then now, taking the money, putting it into an investment while you have some debts that are not helping you breathe at all. It's not a wise decision.
Yes.
Well, you are earning a 10% interest, but then you are being charged 23% in credit. You know, it doesn't make sense. So that's where we need to start prioritizing and look at where am I financially? What are the priorities? What is it that I need to do? And maybe also that's where you get to speak to your doctors like Reggie. You know, who will sit down with you? I mean, most of the time when we are sick, we go to the doctor. But then when we are financially sick, we want to sit in a corner and not seek help. You know, so receive those funds, go to an accredited financial institution, seek to consult, or easily, you have a bank, you know, go into your bank and then start consulting with someone. Give them your clear financial plan, you know, so that they see. They don't just say, hey, put this money into an investment and we give you 6%.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you are paying 23% in debt. You know?
Yeah. When we started earlier, we made the acknowledgement that life happens. You can set your goals, but life just throws you off course. When is it wisdom to adapt the goal that you set? And when is it just fear or avoidance in disguise?
Please repeat that for me.
So I was saying, Gutsi, we mentioned earlier, we acknowledged that life happens, right, for everybody. And that, that really throws us off course where our financial goals are concerned. But now someone is sitting with life having happened. When do they know that, okay, it's time to adapt this goal? And when can they identify, because actually now you are just showing up in fear and avoidance and you're disguising that as wisdom.
Yeah. So look, in finance, one of the things that we would usually emphasize, you would hear me talk about a G-Wagon. I am not against the G-Wagon.
Yes.
Yeah. That is a soft life which I believe I also deserve.
Oh, for sure.
But the question should be, am I making a decision to commit to a G-Wagon right after I have done all the necessary calculations? You know, in economics, we have what we call an opportunity cost.
Yes.
Where you get to look at what would it really cost me to go for this opportunity? You know, you must then remember that if I go for a 5 million house, it means around 50,000 of my income monthly will be going towards this house. Am I willing to undergo that? And then, Bumi, you're saying, yo, someone who goes for such a house, their income is possibly 300,000
a month. Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah.
So, and for such a person, it's not a problem
it's
as long
not.
As they are comfortable
for
with
sure.
that particular transaction.
For sure.
You know, so the key thing is to make sure that you are comfortable and this doesn't put a strain on you financially. Because look, if I can say to you, no, you can't be paying 50,000 installment on a car. Maybe I'm speaking from a position of my life.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
Someone who is making around 900,000 per month, that's like 5,000 rand to them. You know? So for them, it can be a wise decision to make, you know, to satisfy the emotional you, which is also a necessary part of you.
Yeah. I want us to talk about real markers now. You know, when we started the show, you said you are seeing your patients running around looking healthy. And I want us to talk about looks and reality, right? So what key metrics or pulse checks should we be using to know if we're actually doing well or we're just lying to ourselves?
Here's the best one.
Yeah.
The best one is for you to consistently monitor or audit your bank statement. You know, if ever you go in there and then you start getting embarrassed, then you have to stop with the fake image. You know, you need to also go and look at your financial profile. You know, if you have things that are unpaid, if you are afraid to answer certain calls, then we have a problem. you know. So those are really like simple things that we need to look at and ensure that, hey, before I look all glamorous, I look like I have it all together.
Yeah.
Am I able to face myself if I'm to look at my bank statement? Mm.
And, you know, we are really putting up a mid-year mirror, a mid-year money mirror to everybody. And people can lie. You can lie to yourself. But the numbers, that data there that tells you debit, spur, bounce, those stats don't lie. They tell you exactly what you've been getting up to.
Exactly. That's true.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easy to ignore them, you know. And I mean, it starts like a small giant that you are feeding.
Yes.
You know, you keep feeding. And then not so long, because we didn't audit, we didn't check our budget, we didn't track where are we financially, it becomes a very huge giant, you know.
Yeah.
Continuous introspection financially. It's very important so that we get our clear picture of where are we financially.
And you know what comes to mind right now is that in the beginning, it'll be very embarrassing. But there's only so much embarrassment we can take. At some point, we're just like, I'm tired of feeling so embarrassed. Of course, that is if you don't give up on the whole journey altogether. But you say, I'm tired of actually being so embarrassed. The next time I come here, or the next time I look at this this bank statement, I want to feel better. And then suddenly you don't just feel better, you feel good because you have been making the right decisions. There's only so much embarrassment we can tolerate, honestly.
Yeah. And look, the embarrassment doesn't fix itself.
No.
It requires you to fix it.
Actions.
So if you keep quiet, it will actually continue, you know. And the psychology of money will continuously kick in that every time a salary hits the account, you think you have money. Yeah. And then you keep on amplifying your behavior.
Finally, Reggie, if we're going to finish 2025 strong, and not just financially, but holistically, what's the one thing we need to change today? And I know you don't like blanket approaches or one size fits all, but from the work that you're doing and the things that are working for people, and just even with your wisdom and foresight onto how people can end this year strong, what is the one thing we absolutely need to incorporate or change?
I'll give you six.
Oh, love it. Give me all of them.
So the first thing is like really for us to get back on track financially. Mm-hmm. And how we do that, let's review, you know.
Yes.
You keep mentioning us reflecting and looking at the mirror, you know. Mm-hmm. That is the review. Mm-hmm. Let's review our financial goals. Look at if we are still in track.
Yeah.
And then if we are not in track, we go back to the drawing board, budget-wise, savings, investments, and et cetera.
Mm.
And then we need to track our spending.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, I mean, Mbumi, if ever they were to put you and I in a competition now and then they say they give us $1 million, we want to see who's the best spender.
Yeah.
Both of us, like coming up with a number one, it will be very difficult. So that shows you how easy it is to track to spend, you know. So we need to track our spending and then adjust our budget where it's needed, where an adjustment is required.
Yeah.
Automate our savings, you know, because most of the time, if we tell ourselves that, no, I will save, it will be a procrastination.
Oh, for
sure. So speak to your financial institution. Start automating those savings. The moment the salary hits the account, the money is gone, you know.
Mm.
And then work on increasing our income. The cost of living is becoming more and more expensive,
so
we need to see how we can beat inflation.
Yeah.
Inflation continuously rises, but our salaries remains like
still, you know.
So if ever we can try and find that ways in which we can increase our earnings.
Mm.
That's one way we will finish this year strong.
Yeah.
And lastly, let's stay accountable to our finances. Mm. And sometimes people tend to blame others for their financial decisions. Mm. Especially in our demographic, we'll talk about black techs, you know. So let's stay accountable. Sometimes we actually didn't take that credit card to do anything at home, but we took it for ourselves. So let's stay accountable and do the right decisions.
Oh, I love that. And you know, normally when we talk about accountability, we talk about somebody else putting us in check. But where money is concerned, we can get away with nobody knowing the truth about what's really going on. So what's the best way to be accountable to ourselves about our finances?
I mean, accountability to our finances, it actually starts by us acknowledging and realizing that, actually the problem is me at some point. Maybe, yes, there is some family members involved who put you in debt, but then it was your yes that gave them a leeway.
Oh, no.
You know? So maybe I need to exercise no so that they don't take advantage of me.
Oh, that's major.
You know? So the mountain is really you. You know this book, The Mountain is You.
Yes.
Yeah. So the book is really about how whatever situation you are in, being in it most of the time is because of you. And then coming out, it will actually require you also, you know. So I'm the one who put myself in this financial situation that I'm in. And I'm the one who will take myself up. So that's accountability.
Yeah. And, you know, while both those statements are true, I think the one of accepting that you got yourself into the problem, that can be quite disempowering, right? But when you say, I can get myself out of this, then it gives you autonomy. It makes you realize just how powerful you actually are to change things around for yourself.
Sure. No, that's true. Yes, circumstances do happen that land us into financial crisis. But now we need to then remember that we are in charge. Yeah. We are the ones who can change the situation.
Reggie, before you leave, talk to us about your podcast. You plugged it earlier. I want people to get more information and to actually tune into more conversations like the ones we just had.
Yes. The name of the podcast, you find it on YouTube. The name of the podcast is Mindset Profit. Mm-hmm. You see, it's about the mind. Mm-hmm. We are having meaningful conversations there. People are giving their testimonies about how they managed to bounce back, how they managed to conquer certain things, how they were successful in certain things, you know. So there is a lot of hope that we are sharing there I think everybody has to hear. And it will impact them positively.
And I'm glad you're sharing people's stories, because sometimes it's not the information that we need. We already know what we need to do. We know.
You need the stories. You need the stories. We need the testimonies. 100%. You know?
We need somebody to encourage us. We need somebody to show us that they were in a worse position than us and they got out. Sometimes we just need somebody to say, I know what you're going through because I was there.
True.
Yeah.
True.
And that because I'm no longer there, you can make it out as well.
Yes, that's definitely true.
Ah, Reggie, thank you. Thank you for not just giving us these financial tips today, but you gave us permission to stop pretending and to really start planning with power, because we've definitely got that, right? As you were speaking, you reminded us that money doesn't respond to shame. It responds to strategy. And that if we really want to build wealth, if we really want to build wealth, it's not going to happen in silence or confusion. We need clarity. We need community. You emphasize that very much. And you know, we need moments like this and platforms like the podcast you spoke to us about. And before I let you go, I just want to say to our listeners, the second half of the year is coming. Whether you are prepared for it or not, it's coming. But I hope that for you, I hope that for you, it is louder and smarter and more aligned with the life you know you're meant to live, not the life of curling in shame or drowning in decisions that you made when you can very well make new ones. I don't want us to end the year with hope. Reggie already told us hope is not a strategy. We need to end it whole. And the only way we can do that is if we're money wise, is if we are soul wise and really legacy wise. We are focused on, what do I want my life to look like versus what it looks like now?
Definitely.
So, Reggie, thank you. It's always a treat having you.
Thank you very much. And thank you to our listeners. And all the best with the remainder of the year.
Yeah, we'll probably talk to you before it ends, you know, because you're such
yeah,
a beloved
sure.
on this platform.
Yeah, we'll keep it going so that they don't miss it.
Yes, most definitely. Maybe before the end of the year, just to say, guys, how did you do? Are you proud? Are
yeah.
you happy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
sure.
you so much. Have a lovely evening and
thank
a
you.
Lovely rest of the week.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, Reggie. That is it, everybody. That is our show. That is Personal Finance Monday. I hope that you've learned. I hope that you've grown. I hope that you are going to make better decisions moving forward. I am Nompumelelo Lombonani, and I hope that you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.